So we are excited to be here for week three of Stressless Cooking. Everything that we are doing, it really just, it builds on each other, but don't worry if you haven't watched the last two already and you're just here kind of tuning in right now, those are all in the member dashboard for you. And we're going to go ahead and just dive in. Give me just a second. Awesome. All right. And so just keep us posted if for any reason, like you can't hear us in the audio, but we're going to go ahead and just start diving in. And so here we're going to talk about this week, really diving into your cooking personality. Because again, this only works if we make it work for you. And so we're going to share with you the stressless cooking audit, right? Last week you got your new stressless cooking goggles, right? And created those and custom crafted those. If you haven't done that, make sure you go back and do that because that's a really important part of this journey. Remember, everything that we're talking about has really nothing to do with recipes. It's all about who you're being as a cook and the version of you that you're bringing with you into the kitchen, okay? And so just like anything, I'm going to start us off and I'm going to turn it over to Laura Lee in just a moment, but just like everything, this is all about experimentation, right? This is about figuring out who you want to be as a cook so that we can bring it into your life. And so again, the reason why we're experimenting, just like we've talked about so many times, is you're not a widget. We can't just use somebody else's plan or you can't use a cookie cutter plan. We've got to find what works for you. And so, you know, one of the reasons you're here is you've tried the whole do this, don't do that approach before, and it didn't work. It leaves us often feeling like a failure or feeling that comparisonitis to what we should be doing or what we think we're supposed to be doing. And the truth is that if you knew the air quotes right solution, you would be doing it now. And that's why we need to figure yours out, because you don't know what that looks like for you. We've got to experiment and figure out what that looks like for you. And the only way to do that is through that experimentation process that we've talked about so many times. So just to kind of remind you, when I say the experiment mentality, what I mean is like having, you know, finding the ingredients to your own magic formula, not somebody else's, yours, the one that yields you the best results while still enjoying the experience of your life. Because again, if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to do it. But remember, every, like this time around, this is a new journey. This is the stressless journey. And you get to fill in all the ingredients, and I mean it like literally and metaphorically in this case, about like what you know about your life, what you like, what you don't like, what works, what doesn't, right? Because real life isn't a product of a cookie cutter, one size fits all assembly line at a factory. Like that's not real life. A real life is, you know, the result of experiments where you become your own mad scientist and you set out to discover what does and does not work for you in your own real world, real life laboratory, because, you know, the real world does not exist in a bubble of grilled chicken and broccoli, let's be honest, right? So again, a friend, according to my lovely friend Wikipedia, I have a master's degree in School of Wikipedia, but the scientific method, you know, back when you were a kid, what it says is it's a body of techniques for investigating phenomena, acquiring new knowledge, or correcting and integrating previous knowledge, right? So that's really what we are doing here. And so let's take a look at what that could look like for you, because experimentation, it's a method and a system in itself, right? And so we've talked about this before, you know, if you look at the scientific method from when you were in grade school, you know, like they talk about this idea of collecting research first. Like in our case, we want to really just use your past experiences and attempts as data, ditching the drama, just bringing the data and research to go craft the best experiment for you in your life. So what we're really saying here is like, you already know what doesn't work for you. And we want to use that as valuable recon to bring into your new success recipe. Okay. And the question is always going to be like, does this work for me? Does it make me feel the way that I want to feel? And remember, this is about being who you want to be as a stressless cook. It's not just about the doing itself, right? And then of course, ideally the hypothesis is always going to be a big hell to the yes. Like remember, you're not going to create an experiment based on things that don't work for you, right? You've tried that, it didn't work, and that's why you're here now, because you need a better way. And so if your hypothesis based on the question, like, does this work for me, is anything other than a big hell yeah, you might want to reconfigure your plan, because what we know about the brain is you will not do it long term if it doesn't feel good while you go. Okay. And so that's why that's the name of the game this entire way, and why we spent 2 weeks pretty much on your mindset and becoming the way of being of a stressless cook. Okay. That being said, when it comes to this hypothesis of like, will this work for me? Does it feel good? We know the answer is always going to be yes. If it's fun, if it's easy, or if I say it's feasible, it's something that you can do in the long run, right? where you can say like, yeah, I could actually easily sustain this, where it makes you a better version of yourself, not a version of you that you don't like or that you don't trust, right? This makes you feel free, like you have a choice rather than choices are being made for you. And this makes you feel like you're influencing what you can control and releasing what you cannot control. But really, more importantly, it makes you feel good and it makes you feel happy. Again, this is the only way the brain will ever learn for long-term permanent transformation. So in the experiment mentality, you're always going to be trying things on, keeping what feels good, keeping what resonates, and leave the rest, okay? And so the last steps of the experiment of the scientific method are the testing. This is the actual experiment, which we're going to talk about a lot more in depth next week. We're going to send you on your first big fat cooking experiment. But this is where you're going to just try on. Notice I didn't say 1,000% commit to. It's really just an experimentation before we can 1,000% commit to a certain way of being, right? You're going to try on a very specific way of thinking or focus, and we'll give you that specifically next week. But you're going to want to include elements that fit well into your current life, not elements that completely overhaul your life or take over your life. Because again, that's going to create threat to your brain and you'll never stick with it long term, right? Because, you know, we want to make sure that what you're doing is sustainable and doesn't leave you feeling miserable, right? And so again, like always, the easiest thing to test is always going to be a feeling and deciding how you want to feel and then bridging that gap with the actions, which we've talked about time and time again these past couple weeks in Stressless Cooking, right? And then at the end, you're always going to want to analyze. You're going to want to pause, revisit your initial intention, the initial focus for the experiment, and you're always going to want to determine, you know, whether your hypothesis was correct, just like in the scientific method, aka like, did this work for me? Does it work for my life? Can I see it integrating? Does it fit? And then you're going to make a conclusion. You're going to utilize the analysis and research you just conducted, like the whole experiment that you just did, and now it becomes your new data so that you can go craft an even better experiment, one with even more kabam, which, Laura Lee, scientific term, am I right? Yeah, 100%. We don't ever make up words here at Stressless Cooking, so this is no exception. And just to remind you, like, skills are supposed to get easier the more that you practice them, right? So like, if I am playing the ukulele, like the few chords that I picked up along the way, and I don't want you to be intimidated that I know four chords on the ukulele, guys, but I get better and better at them every time I practice. Like, the sound of the chord becomes smoother, my rhythm and finger positioning becomes more ingrained, like playing gets easier for me. And now I sort of feel like a ukulele player, you know, that I can, you know, play a lot of songs with four chords, of course. But it's not always like this, not for every skill. Like, thinking about, again, talking about like our typical definition of cooking, or weight loss is a great example, like, or getting fit, or whatever words we used to be using before we had these conversations. Like, back in the day, like, every time I started a new sprint, it didn't get easier the more I practice it. It actually got harder to keep up with the more I practice it. And so, yeah, like when I was dieting, I may have gotten used to, you know, hunger or used to the constant battle of like, should I go to the gym and sweat my butt off or stay right here? But it never got easier. Things always got harder. And that's why, you know, that's how you know if the plans and programs or ways of thinking that you're using are not a good fit, because if they're getting harder for you, right? And so that's why we want to just make sure that we are really, really committing to making sure that this process is getting easier the more that you practice it, and you're getting better at it the more you practice it. Because remember, ladies, this is a forever kind of conversation. We're not talking about to do this in the short run at the expense of our long run life, right? And so you want to be looking for things that make you say things like, yeah, this is fun. It's easy. It's feasy. I could sustain this, right? You want to be being able to say like, yeah, I could actually do this forever. And this makes me a better version of myself. This sets me free. This empowers me. This makes me feel good, right? And so you're going to just be continually experimenting to figure out what to integrate into your long-term way of living. And again, that just means trying things on, keeping what feels good, and leaving the rest, okay? So just want to make sure that everything is good on our front before I just turn it over to Laura Lee. Awesome. So Laura Lee, here we go. She's going to take us through the actual experimentation side of this and what this all looks like.
Hi guys. I am so glad to be back for week three. And this is, I think, particularly fun for me because we are really getting into my territory, which is getting closer to having you in the kitchen. But this is really, really important. And I'm so excited for you guys to start to uncover your cooking personality. So to just kind of reiterate the goal of this experiment, we are going to teach you what you like and what foods make you feel amazing. I think I mentioned this maybe last week, but easily 85 to 90% of the questions that I get are related to, should I do this? Or what about this? Or how many tablespoons of this? Or whatever it might be, it's related to something that only you can answer. And so we are going to give you all of those answers through this experiment. Then we're also going to empower you to begin creating your personal cookbook in a manageable way. So your own little Rolodex of recipes that you know you and your family love, that make you all feel incredible, and that are sustainable and long-term. Then we're going to broaden your horizons about the breadth of high quality recipes available. Guys, there's just, I mean, it is endless. There are so many different directions that you can take it, so many different ingredients, things to try, cuisines. And instead of that sounding really intimidating to you, by the end of this, that's going to sound fun and exciting and not overwhelming. And lastly, we're going to determine what type of chef you are, which is your cooking personality. And that is just the meat, pun intended, of all of this, and going to be so much fun. And you won't believe how much power and control this is going to give you over your kitchen and therefore your life. So again, guys, this is not about me giving you recipes, nutrition, statistics, or baby steps walking you through knife skills. There's a time and a place for that, and it is not here. These are frameworks and philosophies that are going to give you the foundation to be a stressless cook. Even when you don't get everything right, or you forget an ingredient, or something gets burned, it's all good. You're going to have the tools to handle the situation. And if you want to watch a million YouTube videos on how to properly cook a steak, that's totally cool. You can find that, but that's not why we're here. Okay, how are we going to make this happen? The stressless cooking audit. So in your member dashboard, you will find your stressless cooking audit. This is so fun. I love games. I love fill in the blanks. And that is what you guys are going to get to do for the next 7 days. You are going to use the stressless cooking audit to write what you cooked and prepped and how it made you feel. And as Leanne said, I mean, that is your truth. And it is the easiest thing for you to It's the easiest way for you. How did you describe it? To sort of like gauge things?
Reverse engineer.
Yeah, reverse engineer is how you feel. It's magic. So what you're going to do is you're going to fill out the blank left-hand column of your audit with the meals and the snacks that you make for yourself. I mean, you know, it doesn't need to be every single morsel of food, but the majority. And if you have a packaged protein bar, I want you to include that as well, because you're going to have feelings that that's going to make you feel a certain way, in addition to the things that you're actually putting together. And then in the right-hand column, you will see a range of emojis. There are 3. One emoji per meal, 2 to 4 hours after the meal is how you're going to rate it. So basically 2 to 4 hours after you have your snack or your meal, you are going to choose one of the 3 emojis that best expresses how that made you feel. And then after 7 days of this, what I want you to do is go back through the meals and highlight the ones that made you feel good to amazing, and make a list of those meals/foods that make you feel really awesome.
Awesome. So kind of just to stack on this, when this video goes live, so later today, you're going to see that right below this video, you're going to see the stressless cooking audit. And just like Laura Lee said, on one side, it's going to be blank, where you're going to just fill in what you're currently cooking. We're not talking about when you step into the recipe experiment that we take you on next week. This is really just getting you that recon. So all the ways, so for some of you, that might mean I'm actually like going in my fridge and microwaving, putting a steam bag of broccoli in the microwave and not prepping anything, just totally convenience-based. And then you put that down on your thing, and then there's a course of emojis that you choose. Did it make you feel good, kind of medium, or sad, or bad? We just want to figure out like how you're feeling when you're cooking and prepping this, okay? That might also include that you made a 7-course meal for your friends and family. I want you to write that down too. All we're doing right now is taking account of what you're already doing and then auditing how it's currently making you feel. And then we're going to show you how to use that data that you're collecting right now next week to bring it into your new kind of way of being around food. But again, all you're doing is just kind of recapping how you're feeling, and you're going to use that stressless cooking audit that's going to be provided for you underneath this video.
Okay, awesome. Yes, I love all of that information. And also I would encourage you, so you can keep things really bare bones and keep it as simple as we have in the audit. That's why we made it the way it is, to make it just something that is pretty manageable for you to do over the course of the next week. But if you want to take the time to add little notes, whether it's on a separate piece of paper, you know, or in your head or wherever it is, I would encourage you, if you find yourself feeling other emotions, or you notice something a day later, or whatever it is, if you're inclined to write it down, the more information that you can gather, the better. Okay, so how are we going to determine your cooking personality type? So this was really fun for me because it really helped me synthesize a lot of the information I've learned over now 6 years of teaching cooking classes, writing cookbooks, working with people to help them come up with something that is relatable and sustainable for them. And it turns out that there really is a specific personality type for cooking. It's different for every person, but it really will help in sort of not only determine, but give you confidence in what you're going to be choosing to cook.
I'll also say it's also going to give you permission to not feel like you have to be a certain cook. Like, I mean, I will not ever compare myself to Laura Lee because she is a chef and this is her thing, versus you guys know me. I love to concoct and I'm my own version. So this is also going to set you free and give you permission to kind of ditch that comparisonitis to other people that you see on Instagram cooking food and all that as well.
100%. I love that. Okay, so what type of cooking personality do you have? And as I noted, you can be a mixture. You can be 10% this, 80% this. You can be 30, 30, 30. You can be a certain personality type on the weekends and different during the week. So it is very flexible. The first distinction we're going to make is the scientist versus the artist. The second is experience versus convenience. The third is big batch versus Taco Tuesday. And lastly, we are going to take a look at all of these guys.
And one other thing I'll kind of invite you into, remember, this is like all about giving yourself permission to discover who you are. So the other thing is like, you might find there's a different season in your life where like this season, you're really busy and you need to be a big batch versus Taco Tuesday kind of person. You'll see what we mean in a second. Or like, this is a season in your week that you need to be a convenience person versus an experience. So always remember, it comes back to like, what do I need for myself right now? And giving yourself that permission to utilize it. And Laura Lee is just going to set you free by helping you identify what you are in any given moment in time.
Yep. Let's do it, guys. Let's dive on in. Okay, the scientist versus the artist. Okay, so a scientist, you love following rules. You don't really want to deviate from the recipe and you enjoy detailed instructions. You're like, tell me what to do. Give me all the info. You probably enjoy baking because it's incredibly formulaic. You know that, you know, if you follow X, Y, and Z steps, you are going to get that perfect muffin top. Well, an actual muffin top that we all seek in the kitchen. And then cooking enjoyment comes from something that accurately reflects the original recipe. So you love pictures of recipes and you're like, I just want it to look like that beautiful picture in the book or the magazine or whatever it is. So that is the scientist. And then you have the artist, which is, as Leanne said, recipe schmecipe. You prefer to do a little of this and a little of that, and you almost never follow a recipe word for word. I find this is often people who grew up with mothers or grandmothers or fathers who were cooking, teaching them to cook, and have a lot of family recipes, because that's usually pinches of this and pinches of that. And your cooking enjoyment comes from coming up with your own version of the original recipe. So you might completely deviate, or you might just be inspired by something, or you may just want to concoct it completely on your own. And you probably won't even take the time to compare yours with the original anyway. And you're also probably not a baker, but you're really down with a one pot wonder where you just kind of threw everything together. All right, so our next distinction is experience versus convenience. So with experience, what excites you the most about cooking is the doing, the trying, the experimenting, experiencing. You love, you know, finding a new ingredient and bring it in the kitchen and figuring out, you know, what to do, tasting it and combining it with things. You might have a little bit more time flexibility and you want to learn to create your own recipes from scratch one day. That's really exciting idea to you. And this is also probably somebody who finds themselves traditionally just, you know, you might be somebody who already considers yourself someone who loves cooking. And you're adventurous with food and flavor, and you're willing to, you know, buy that unique ingredient that you might not know as much about, but want to play around with it. And then convenience. And again, y'all, let me just reiterate too, that like, this is flexible. These can be blended together. This can change hour to hour, and that's okay. And don't be overwhelmed by that. If you are totally one, maybe you are an experienced person with one single recipe, you know, that you grew up with and you love, you know, tweaking that particular recipe, but for all other food, you just want it to be convenient. That's completely fine. So with convenience, the whole thing is about making life easier. You want to be proficient in the kitchen, but you're not concerned with creativity or concocting your own recipes. And, you know, you want them to be delicious. Of course, we all want our food to be delicious, but you're not, your goal is to get it on the table and have it be, you know, tasty, easy cleanup. And you want recipes that are easy to follow that you could probably then memorize and implement into your weekly schedule to check home cooked meals off the list.
Yeah. And I'll also say, this is where the beliefs that we talked about in weeks one and two are so important, because convenience or wanting convenience is the reason why a lot of people think like, oh, I can't be a cook or whatever. But it's like, no, just meet yourself where you are. Know that you want the convenience factor, and let that be the reason that you do it a certain way rather than the excuse of why you don't do it at all.
Yeah. No, use this to your advantage for sure. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, none of these are good or bad or right or wrong. There is like zero value judgment placed on any of these, other than how they, you know, help improve your life. Okay, so next we're going to talk about Big Batch versus Taco Tuesday. I've learned over the last, you know, 6 years that these are pretty much the main distinctions for how people like to organize their meal planning. So Big Batch method is going to be great for people whose families don't mind eating leftovers. You love the idea of just knocking out cooking a bunch of food on a weekend and then throwing it together and reheating it throughout the week. You'd also, you know, enjoy trying a few new recipes each week as opposed to the same recipes. You know, you're happy to try something, you know, try three or four, you know, new recipes every weekend, and then just kind of nibble on those throughout the week and not have to worry about cooking during the actual week. And within Big Batch, there's kind of two ways to do this. So if you're somebody who's like, I really don't like eating the exact same, you know, casserole every single day, which, by the way, guys, I do. I will totally eat the same food like 5 days in a row. So if you do like that, then you're sort of a casserole soup style Big Batch where you're really just happy to eat, reheat and eat throughout the week. But you can also be what I like to call the magic is in the sauces Big Batch. I started to tell this to people who found themselves really bored with the same foods, but also wanted it to be super convenient. So here's the deal with that. That's somebody who wants to make you know, a big batch of grilled chicken, a batch of quinoa, some roasted veggies, and then maybe you keep some fresh crunchy veggies and some, you know, avocado nuts and seeds for sprinkling on top. You keep those around. That can all be really easy and really simple. You'll learn to do that with your eyes closed, and then you're just going to keep three or four really delicious condiments or sauces around in your refrigerator. And y'all, it can be pre-prepared. I don't care. You don't need to make it from scratch. You know, hummus, salsa, pesto, toasted sesame oil. Those are all magical ingredients. You know, low sodium tamari or soy sauce. Those are magical ingredients that will completely change the flavor profile of your food. So this way you actually can create a totally different meal and just throw these things together throughout the week. So that's Big Batch method. And then the next is Taco Tuesday method. So this is fantastic for people who maybe have little ones asking, what's for dinner? What's for dinner? And you are going to be able to answer that question because you're going to have it all planned out each week with no surprises. Now, when I say all week, this is really Monday through Friday, and then maybe we can have a little more fun and flexibility on the weekends. But this is where, you know, you make, you know, Monday is Meatless Monday, Tuesday is Taco Tuesday, Wednesday is grilled salmon, whatever it is. And this is great for people as well whose families are not huge fans of leftovers or dealing with reheating, but it also means that you'll need a little bit more time to prepare on the actual night. Just a little bit of a la carte cooking, maybe 30 minutes each night, and you don't mind doing that. And it's also great for people who don't mind making the same recipes week after week. You memorize them, you know them like the back of your hand. But if you think about it, I mean, if you make you know, tacos every Tuesday, you're probably not going to get sick of that for a while because there's 7 days or 6 days in between that. And you can always tweak them and play around with them and that kind of thing. Cool. All right, let's move on. So now we are going to bring it all together, my loves, and we are going to talk about some action steps. So once you know who you are in the kitchen, you're going to have such an easier time weeding through the online world of recipes. Knowing who you are in the kitchen is what's going to make choosing recipes for you and your family not nearly as intimidating and, dare I say it, fun. So keep this in mind along with your notations about the foods that made you feel amazing through your stressless cooking audit while you conduct your recipe search. Okay, so then what you're going to do is you're going to actually use the World Wide Net, and we're going to give you some resources. I've given Leanne some of my favorite blogs and websites that you can use, places that I know you're going to have very people who make good food where it's going to turn out the way it's supposed to, and that will just help narrow things down for you a little bit more. But you're going to use the internet to find 6 recipes, approximately 4 servings each, so 2 breakfasts, 2 lunch, 2 dinner that align with the foods that made you feel amazing. And you want to make sure that you already have the equipment that you need to make those particular recipes.
Awesome. So yeah, I will post below this video. I'll make sure that in the little notes below it that I give you some of the resources that Laura Lee gave us for a recipe search. But so again, what you're going to, just to kind of clarify, and we'll walk you through these steps one more time, is you're going to, the first, now it's like collecting that recon. You're going to use the stressless cooking audit and figure out like how you feel and how you don't feel and how you want to feel and all those things. And then you are aware of like what kind of cooking personality you have. And then now what you're going to be doing is we're setting you up, because next week we're going to be taking you on your first big cooking experiment, your big fat experiment. And so what she wants you to do is just go on the internet, find 6 recipes. So, you know, 2 breakfast, 2 lunch, 2 dinner that align with foods that already made you feel good from what you discovered in the stressless cooking audit. Okay. And then you're going to also just obviously make sure that you have the equipment, make sure you have all that you need. And then we're going to set you up with the rest next week.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So don't worry about the details of this right now. We're just putting this in your head to kind of start looking forward to what this is going to look like when it comes to life. Okay. So just to kind of go over everything, step one is your stressless cooking audit. And over the next 7 days, you're going to use this cooking audit to write down what you cooked and prepped and how it made you feel. You're going to put what you made and prepped and ate in the left-hand column, and the right-hand column is going to have your emojis, and you're going to choose 1 emoji per meal. Give yourself 2 to 4 hours before you circle that emoji so that we really know, because it takes a while to digest. And after a week, at the end of the week, you're going to highlight the meals that made you feel good to amazing, and then just make a list of those foods. It doesn't need to be super specific, but just the basics of what it is that you were eating that made you feel awesome. So that's your audit. And then step 2 is going to be determining your cooking personality type. Scientist versus artist, experience versus convenience, big batch versus Taco Tuesday. You can be a combination. You can be 1 on the weekends, 1 during the week, or vice versa. 1 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon. That's totally cool too. You can be whatever combination you like.
And then I probably should have added a step 3 in there, which is do your recipe search, but that's part of next week as well. So we just wanted to kind of set you up for that. But just know that, just kind of get the wheels turning. I'll post some resources below for where, like, Laura Lee's favorite places to find awesome recipes. I'm going to add her website to it because she has amazing recipes on her site as well. And so we're just getting kind of the wheels turning for next week. Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. So that is it for this current lesson. Okay. Next week, we're going to just take you through how to experience your first big fat experiment and becoming a stressless cook. And again, just to emphasize, we're teaching you some, you know, practicalities and examples of ways to use this philosophy. And next week, we're going to show you how to bring it to life in a practical, applicable kind of way. But just know that, like, this is designed to be able to wash, rinse, and repeat through any way, a series of recipes and cooking. Because again, the most important part is who you're being and what you're bringing to the table around yourself as a stressless cook. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to just open up to questions. So basically, if you have any questions, go ahead and type into the chat Or you can even just unmute yourself. Let me pull up the chat. Cool. Anybody have any questions about anything? I know a lot of it. Oh, I probably need the mic. I know a lot of it was probably pretty self-explanatory. Okay. Oh, that was now. Can you hear me? Okay, cool. I totally forgot that I needed to keep the phone, the microphone by my mouth. Okay, awesome. Yeah, so anybody on the call have any questions? If not, we'll go ahead and just wrap this up. Let's just see. Cool. Feel free to unmute yourself or type into the chat box if you have any questions at all. All right. Well, just to remind you, this will be posted live in just later today, and you'll see the Stressless Cooking Audit will be below it, and I'll also post those resources for that recipe search for you. And as always, if you have, sometimes it's common to not have any questions now and like be like, oh crap, I realized I had a question. Just feel free to shoot a message into the help desk. I'm there to support you. Laura Lee is here to support you as well, and we would love to support you in any way. Suzanne, did you have a question?
I do.
Awesome.
So, Laura Lee, one of the things that I know is my hang up is exactly what you said we're not going to talk about here, how to cook a perfect steak or how to slice something the correct way. Are there folks that you would recommend that I look up on YouTube to follow and learn from, some of those basic skills for how to cook is one of my barriers.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I would say definitely check out the resources that we're going to be giving you, because I specifically chose those resources because they're going to be pretty simple recipes, like without any crazy techniques. And so most of it will just be really simple slicing and chopping and that kind of thing. If you really are sort of like so basic, like not even sure how to properly hold a knife, I will get Leanne some resources for that as well that she can include where, you know, if you just want to make sure you're doing things safely in the kitchen. But I think with the websites that I'm sharing, I think the instructions are going to be very clear. And also, I kind of want you guys to take it slow and to kind of learn on your own and to start, because I don't want you to feel like you need any sort of crazy techniques or knife skills. I mean, I love Leanne to death, but like, I would not say knife skills are one of her strongest, you know, one of her strong suits, but she's able to make herself really delicious food with the skills she already has. So I think that's a lot of it is, you know, think about the things you already know how to do. And I guarantee you there are tons of amazing recipes that you could make right now today.
Yeah. Oh, and I will just stack
and
on
that's
that.
Actually
part of this is giving yourself permission and almost even declaring, like, experimentation is the opposite of perfectionism. And I want to invite you all to go into this mindset of like, there is no right or wrong way to cut a steak. You know, and leaving that at the door and letting it be about the experience. Like, if chopping a steak really thinly and finely makes you happy and makes you smile, that's the air quotes right way to chop that steak. If chopping a bell pepper in strips makes you really happy and smile, that's the air quotes right way to chop that up that bell pepper. I want you to start just like pleasing yourself. And part of it is like, I love when my friends come over and I like concoct something for the people that are over, and I just like arrange it beautifully on the plate. Even if it's like a big, like messy kind of like breakfast scramble, then I'll take my like chopped up bell peppers and my guacamole and all that, and I'll make it on the plate and arrange it all nicely. So part of it is like the entire experience of prepping your food as well, and not worrying about that perfectionism. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. And I don't think that, unlike most of my questions, which are rooted in perfectionism, I don't think this one is about perfectionism. I think it's about, I think that I have basic knife skills and I think I have basic cooking skills. It's when I'm wanting to learn something new, one of the things like I don't know how to do is how do I sear a steak well so that, you know, it has the right exterior when I'm then going to broil it, or how do I sear something before I bake it for a finish that I'm looking for. Like, I've definitely learned baking is one of the easiest darn things that I can do to cook. throwing it in an oven and putting on a timer makes life super duper easy. But sometimes it's missing like that finishing piece that I'm looking for. And I'm not sure, is there a resource online that you would say is a trusted resource that is worth watching some of their videos for those types of things?
Yes, I will definitely include some resources for you to watch YouTube videos if that is helpful for you. Absolutely. But I will also say a properly written recipe should be teaching you, should include any techniques that you need to know to get the right crust, to get the right inside. And I will have to give myself a little shout out here because I'm not great at a lot of things, but I'm a really good recipe writer. And my cookbook will give you a lot of techniques through the way that my recipes are written. I have a flank steak recipe in my cookbook that is awesome. It's really delicious marinade. It's going to explain how to slice it. You want to slice it against the grain. I can definitely help with that. And the resources that I'm going to be sharing, just the blogs, again, like the way that I think you are, I love it because I'm the same way as you. I obviously am a cook. I want technique. And I believe that a lot of these properly written recipes are going to help with that. And then I will also include a few YouTube channels that can show you some stuff like that as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Awesome. Great question. I'm sure a lot of people are going to have those same questions. So really appreciate you asking. Awesome. Anything else coming to any of your minds, ladies, before we head off? Awesome. Well, anybody here, anybody who's listening to the replay, feel free to send in any questions to myself or Laura Lee in the help desk. We will make sure that you get the information that you need. And as always, just remember, this is about you get to decide who you want to be and how you want to feel. And this is just one more element of that. And so just roll with it, run with it. Don't let it, if you feel like you're moving into pressure or stress or persuasion or coercion or any of those air quotes negative emotions around cooking, just take a deep breath and meet yourself where you are in that moment. And again, that might be a good place to be like, okay, what cooking personality do I have right now? I need to be convenience and, you know, experience-based or science-based or whatever it is. I'm an artist today or I'm a scientist today or whatever it is. You get to choose. The knife is literally in your hands. All right. Well, we will sign off for right now. We're so grateful for those of you that are live, those that are here listening to the replay. Don't hesitate to reach out with any questions. We are grateful for your participation and we love you, ladies. Thank you guys so much. Love spending time with you today. Have an awesome week. Talk to y'all soon.